do to our own. So we're walking around the fields singing this song, having some Sankirtan. It happened to be the full moon also. So, you know, early in the morning, the moon is still full on the horizon. And Srila Prabhupada stopped. He pointed to the moon and he said, "My theory is the moon is a fiery planet covered by an atmosphere of ice. Therefore, it gives light and cooling rays." And he pointed with his stick. Fiery planet covered by an atmosphere of light, ice. Therefore, it gives light and cooling effect. What do you think? There were about 30, 40 devotees there. Everybody said, "Jai." And then somebody else was saying about to the moon, and then he said, "Yes, before my Guru Maharaj left the world, he was talking about the fallen condition of the moon. In Kali Yuga, even in the moon, they have fallen down." So he said he has gone there for preaching. Some say, something like he just said, some say, or he has gone there for preaching. So every once in a while when I hear or sing a song, I think of that particular incident where he told about the moon. Many names of Krishna. Krishna's names always correspond to his various pastimes. Mukunda, Murari, Rama, Krishna, Ayagriva. Mukunda, the giver of liberation. Murari, the place of flute. Rama, Krishna, Hayagriva. Hayagriva was the horse incarnation. Nisrimha, Vamana, Sri Madhusudana, Brajendra Nandana, Shyam, the son of Maharaj Nanda, Cowherd Boy of Vrindavan, Shyam. Shyam and Shyama. You know the difference? This Shyam, S-H-Y, long A-M-A, Shama. Shama, Shyam. This is Shyam. There's another Shama, short A, Shama, Shyam. That's Radharani. Shama, Shyam means Radha Krishna. Shama, Shyam. In Vrindavan, sometimes you hear people walking in the street singing Shama, Shyam means Radha Krishna. Jai Dasarathi Ram. That Dasarathi Ram means Ramachandra. So the first Rama, that means Balaram, or may mean Radha Rama. So we find quite a mix here. Yasoda Dulala, Govinda Gopala, Vrindavana Purandara, mixing Vishnu Avatar, Vaikuntha Avatar, Dasarathi Ram, Hayagriva, mostly names of Krishna at Vrindavan, and so forth. But nonetheless, there are mixes of names here. So there is a group of devotees in Vrindavan, and they chant a nice poem. A poem, like a mantra, very poetically. Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam, Vajra Hari Krishna, Japa Hari Nam. Nice poetry. Poetic balance is there. Nitai Gaur, names of Nitai Gaur, Radhe Shyam. Vajra Hari Krishna, Japa Hari Nam. Or Japa Hari Krishna, Vajra Hari Nam. I forget the way they say it. So, we heard from Srila Prabhupada, and he also wrote in his book that this is not bona fide chanting. Nitai Gaur Radhesha. And he told one should learn chanting from the representatives of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What is pure devotion? And he said, they are devotees. They are devotees, he said. And they have written like this poetically, but we should not chant like that. So I wondered for a long time, especially when I would see the song Viva Bodhisattva, which is poetic composition, and also mixing names of Hayagriva, names of Brajendra Nandana, Govinda Gopal, mixing. So what is the criterion? Why this one is a bona fide mantra? And this is by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but what aspect of it is bona fide? And what aspect of the other one is not bona fide? Because both are poetic. Nitai Gaur, what's wrong with Nitai Gaur? What's wrong if somebody goes, if somebody's walking down the path and they go, Nitai Gaur, and somebody else goes, Radhe Shyam, will we go bogus? So what is wrong with that mantra that those people chant? What is wrong, I found out, with that mantra, which Srila Prabhupada did not tell at that time, is they think Nitai Gaur is Radhe Shyam. They consider that Nityananda is Radharani. So the names are there, and that is fine. But the conception is sour. It's not a good conception. It is completely unpalatable conception. Rasabhas brings about distaste, bad taste. So, in any bhajan, in any mantra, conception is necessary. Without proper conception, one may not get anything. Or, if one has misconception, well, that would mean not proper conception. But according to one's conception, then the mantra will take you in that direction. I mentioned many times that in Guru Vayur, they chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. A little different than we do. They chant it backwards. It means they chant it Hare Rama first, then Hare Krishna. Once the kirtan is going, it's hard to tell, because they only chant half of the time anyway, so you can't find out where they started. But that's where they start, with Hare Rama. But what is their conception of that chanting? It is not the same as our kirtan, even if we were to chant in that way. It's not that just what order they put it in. They have a conception about that. And that conception is Mokshavadi. They're chanting for liberation. That these names will give liberation. And they're thinking, half are thinking Narayan is the supreme. The other half are thinking that Brahman is the supreme. Some of the people in that place are thinking that Narayan is supreme. And others are thinking that the Brahman is the supreme. So there is a mixed conception. But according to one's conception, then one goes towards that direction. So many years ago, we used to have these kirtans in ISKCON Juhu Beach. Big, beautiful temple Srila Prabhupada built. It. Big, gorgeous, all-white marble temple. If you've ever seen it, you'll know how beautiful it is. And there are three huge, beautiful altars made of silver and gold. One is Gorni Thai, one is Radha Rasa Bihari, and the other is Lakshman, Sitaram, and Hanuman. So, sometimes kirtan used to go on there, and the kirtan party, when chanting Nitai Gaur, Nitai Gaur, they would jump over in front of Nitai Gauranga. And sometimes, then when they would chant the mantra, of course there they never put the mantra in two parts. But as the leader is chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, he's in front of Radha Rasa Bihari. And when he would chant the second part of the mantra, he would run over in front of Lord Ramachandra, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And every single devotee in that temple had the conception that Rama means Ramachandra. And amongst the pujaris also. But I remembered long back something Srila Prabhupada had said about Radha Damodar. Radha Damodar deities of Vishnu Janaswami. He said they were Gornitai in disguise. Because you can't take Radha Krishna traveling like that in a bus. Anyway, he just said that in some particular spirit. But somehow or another, I thought, oh, they were in disguise. Well, who is this? Who are they? And Sita Ram, actually, that is Radha Krishna in disguise. And Lakshman is Balaram in disguise. So someone may ask, well, why did Srila Prabhupada put those deities there like that? You just have to live in Bombay for a year to know how big Ramachandra is in Bombay in order to bring the people into Krishna consciousness and bring them in. He actually built that temple for the sophisticated people of India. Bombay, at that time, Bangalore was just a whistle stop on a narrow gauge train putzing down through South India. It was nothing. We called it the air-cooled city because there were so many trees in Bangalore and there were so few automobiles and all that stuff. Even in the hot season, because of its elevation, it was a very cool city. A very nice place to come. Peaceful, quiet place. And so many of the wealthiest and most educated people, etc., in India lived in Bombay. That was main place. Still it is a big, big place for that. So Srila Prabhupada built that Juhu temple for the sophisticated people of India. And not for just boys with no homes and poor people from the village. It's not what it was made for, to be filled up with village people and so forth. Village people are also nice people, but not need to build a $2 million temple to engage them in Krishna consciousness. It was meant for the more sophisticated people, and they installed the Sitaram deities there because of the popularity of Lord Ramachandra in Bombay amongst the people, especially the Gujarati people. So, in anything we do, there has to be proper conception. If we have no conception about what we're doing, no conception about the mantra, no conception about the song or anything, no conception, then that is something probably like rowing a boat but dragging a bunch of stones in the water. It goes very slow at that time. Then, because conception means what is our goal? It's like if we're in the forest, we don't know which way is east. We may be easily lost. We have no particular fix, no direction. Then we become lost. Lost means no direction. Okay? In the old days, ships at sea never sailed into the hemisphere, southern hemisphere, a long time ago, because at a certain time you can't see the North Star anymore. And after you lose sight of that, you can't navigate a ship, at least in the old days. So they never would sail off into the sea. They would just hang near the coast of Africa and go down. That is very dangerous. If they got out into the sea, they couldn't navigate properly, and they could just float off. Because you just go a little bit off in the ocean, a few feet, and go long enough, and you'll be gone. Turn around and go the other way. You'll never make it. It's very, very dangerous. So you have to have some point, some fix. That means a goal. So conception means it is in relation to the goal. What is the conception? What is the goal? If we can fix up the goal, then we can make progress in that direction. If we have no direction, we have no goal, we have no direction. We have some misconception. There's one place where Srila Prabhupada has written in the Bhagavatam that one should not go a step farther in Bhagavatam unless he has understood everything up to that point. He said if one has some question or doubt or misunderstanding or just doesn't understand, it doesn't do any good just to keep going. And I feel very strongly that that's in relation to the goal. Understanding. If we have some misunderstanding and we go a step farther, where are we? We're nowhere. We have to we have a misunderstanding, we should try to clear up that misunderstanding and come to the proper consideration. So especially in the mantras, chanting of the mantra. So, Srila Sridhar Maharaj explained, also Srila Prabhupada explained Maha Mantra in different ways. And many times, Srila Prabhupada told Hare means Hara. Hara means Radharani, Mother Hara. In South India, we also find this word, Hara. But who is Hara? Lord Shiva. In South India, Hara is Shiva. There's a deity called Harihara. It's Shiva and Vishnu combined, Harihara. There's a Shiva Lingam in front of the Udupi temple, means outside the temple, across the little street there, behind some shops, there's a doorway that goes down. There's a temple, it's a Shiva Linga temple. And most of the time when pilgrims go there, the pujaris just go, Mahadev, Mahadev, Hara Hara Mahadev. And everybody goes, Jai. Then they get some prasadam and go away. But actually, that Shiva Lingam is not just Mahadev. That Shiva Lingam is Harihara. It's Vishnu and Shiva combined in the Shiva Lingam. And there's an ancient story how Lord Shiva prayed to Lord Vishnu, please accept my form and receive worship. So many are worshipping Shiva Linga. So Lord Shiva felt some pain about this. Please accept my form and so that the people will benefit when they worship me. So Lord Vishnu appeared in the form of Shiva Linga. So that one is called Harihara. And there's another deity form, comes from the stories of the Puranas where Shiva and Vishnu combined to kill the demons or something like that. That's called Harihara. But when we say Harihara, Hari means Krishna, and Hara means Radharani. Harihara, that's Radha Krishna. So, they also say like that. The Mayavadis, impersonalists, smartists, they'll say Hare. Hare, that comes from Hara. Hara means Shiva. Then they translate the Maha Mantra like that. Shiva. Or they will say, Hari means Vishnu. And Krishna, that is Krishna, Krishna avatar. Krishna. Then Rama means Ramachandra. Or Parasuram. They say like that. Then those are atheists, they say Krishna means the black snake. Krishna also means black snake. Hari also means thief. Somebody is stealing your shoe and running. Hari, Hari, he's thief. So Krishna is also a thief. Hari is also a thief. Our Lord, Hari, steals our hearts, steals our minds. Yeah, he's a thief. He's a yogurt thief. He's a milk thief. He's a thief. Well, what type of a thief? We must have some conception about thief. So, what Prabhupada told that Hari means Radharani. Then Krishna, that is Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then most of the time he told Rama, Rama means Baladev, spiritual strength potency, Rama. One or two occasions, one occasion we found in his writings, he told Rama means Ravana, as in Radha Rama. Only one time. Many times he told this means power. But then if we consider what he has just said, Hare means Radharani, Krishna is Krishna, Rama means Balaram, then we are chanting Radha Balaram. Hare Rama, Radha Balaram. So if Rama is Balaram, then Hare must be Revati. So then we have to think that that Hare is Revati. And sometimes people say that Hari means Nisringadev. So, although all these things are true, but what is our meditation? What is our conception? What is the Gaudiya conception? And Gaudiya conception is that both Hare Krishna and Hare Rama means Radha Govinda, Radha Shyam Sundar. Both of them, both the mantras, both sides of the mantra. It was always in that way. That is Gaudiya conception. But if we're thinking Lord Ramachandra or ideas like that, then our bhajan will go like that. We cannot be ignorant of the goal. We cannot be ignorant of the conception and expect a progress. Progress, maybe, in the form of Nama Bas, but that will be at a snail's pace. You know what it means, snail's pace?
Very slow.
But if we pick up the goal, fix up the proper conception, then we can make more progress, speedy progress even, towards our ultimate destination. So that particular group, the Nittai Gaurarade Shambhaktas, I found out that they are sadhyas. But they chant 64 rounds a day, mostly. They are very strict in the regulative principles. They don't take ganja. They don't do any nonsense. They occupy Gambhira, Mahaprabhu's place of bhajan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's place of bhajan. What kind of place is that? We marvel at the place of bhajan of Rupa Goswami or Jiva Goswami, some of the great saints. Mahaprabhu's place of bhajan, Gambhira, in Jagannath Puri. They occupy that place. They have control over that. They are devotees of Chaitanya. But they have a misconception. And the quality of their misconception turns the whole lila sour. That thing is that they consider that Lord Nityananda is the Atman. Otherwise, they do everything. They do so many things. Maybe they do those things even better than we do. But the whole thing, again, spoiled. So, we may have some small misunderstanding. For example, one may have a misunderstanding about the origin of the soul. That is not such a big thing, actually. One may have a misunderstanding about how the modes of material nature work, or how many divisions of planetary systems there are, who were the five sons of Draupadi. You could make many mistakes and have many misconceptions, misunderstandings, of lower categories. Huh? And that is not such a problem. But when approaching the higher categories, the higher substance, then we should try to have a very correct understanding. A little sand in the sweet rice ruins the whole thing. A little misconception in the higher world renders the whole thing spoiled, useless. There once was that devotee, he came to Jagannath Puri and he had composed a beautiful poem about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he read it to many devotees, and the devotees, I mean, the devotees, they were good devotees. They were very happy to hear the praise of Mahaprabhu. Now, one devotee particularly, just because it was praising Mahaprabhu, he was so happy. Oh, this is very nice, very nice. We want to have this read to Mahaprabhu. But Sri Damodar, later he chastised him. Why? Because you were a cowherd boy, you were always enthusiastic. He praised Krishna. But we find in this poem objection, things which will create great disturbances to Mahaprabhu. And there is something how he compared that Lord Jagannath was actually different than his body in the poem. And this other devotee, just he is. I think he may have even been one of the Nitya Gopals or something. He's a cowherd boy from Goloka Vrindavan. So he must also know. But about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's some speciality that maybe he may not even know. But anyway, in his enthusiasm, he didn't see the defect. So, what about our enthusiasm then? We must be enthusiastic. But, and in the beginning, that's the only thing that matters. Just be enthusiastic. But in some time, we should know the proper thing, the proper order of the thing, the proper position of all things, in order to render more pleasing service to the Supreme. It's just like, there used to be this little girl, her name was Saraswati. She was the daughter of a devotee named Shyamasundara. I think so. So she used to say, Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, chant, dance, and be happy. So Prabhupada says, yes, she is preaching. You don't want to know where she is now. So that was all right for a little girl. Just like I tell the little children, you just eat prasadam, Maya won't get you. But when you get up there, around 17, 16, 17, 18, you got to do more than just eat prasadam, or Maya will get you. Just like in Manasamhita, it says, no one makes any karma under 12 years old. You see these children growing up doing meat-eater families, they get no reaction to that. Nothing they do. They get no new karma. Then, you know, that one rishi, he rewrote the law of Manu and chastised Yamaraj, right? Cursed Yamaraj to become a sudra because he misread the laws of the universe. Because the rishi, when he was just an ignorant child, took a piece of grass and poked an ant with it, killed an ant. Now, if we saw some children doing that, we would stop them from doing it. Why are you doing that? That is ignorance. But later on, he was pierced by the lance, a lancer, and he died. And then he went to Yamaraj. And I think he went there on his own choice. He wanted to know, what is this? What have I done? What has been my karma to cause me to be pierced by the lance? Because I know so many things, what I've done, all these things. I have not done anything to invoke this in this life or any life. So what is the reason? He said, oh, you don't remember when you were a boy, 7 years old, you pierced an ear with a straw. So the reaction has come to you. You're pierced by the lance of the soldiers. Then he chastised Yamaraj. He said, you do not know the laws of the universe. Manasamhita, and he quoted Manasamhita, there is no reaction to anyone under 12. Nine. So you don't know the laws of the universe. You don't know the Shastra. That means you're a sudra. I curse you to take birth as a sudra. So then he took birth at the time of Krishna's appearance as Vidura. And the uncle of the Pandavas. But anyway, he also said something at that time, and I, from here on I'm rewriting the law. So, because Yamaraj had made a mistake, and anyway, it just goes like that. So he wrote the law, rewrote the law, and he upped it to 12 or upped it to 14, whatever it is. But anyway, it goes like that. But just like in Western countries, sometimes children do, like, they murder somebody. The courts don't know what to do with it. Because even just intelligence tells us, well, what can you do with them? They can't even understand. I mean, they give them all these tests and everything, and they figure out they don't even know the difference between life and death. They have no knowledge. They don't know. They can't be held responsible. You know? So, that's true up to a point. Then responsibility sets in, even in mundane society and in the world, and then Maya can get you. So at that time, you have to start surrendering, taking shelter of Krishna and the holy name. Then Maya can't get you. Deva Yeshu Gunamai. You take shelter of Krishna, Maya cannot get you. But if we abandon Krishna's shelter, if we give up the holy name, then Maya can catch us. Sure. So, what was my point? Enthusiasm. So these other devotees were enthusiastic, right? So in the beginning, that's all right. And then so many things can be adjusted. But that's the point. They must become adjusted in time. And then we must know everything nicely in order to render proper service. We cannot say, oh, that was what I was telling you about Saraswati. She just said like that. So also, his son there, some sannyasi or so forth, and he was just telling like that. My preaching? Yes. Krishna is Supreme Personality of God, a chant, dance, be happy. Now, Saraswati's preaching was pleasing to Prabhupada. She was a little girl. But in Vishnu John or Brahmananda or any older devotee, he's just telling, am I preaching Krishna Supreme Lord? Chant, dance, and be happy. Srila Prabhupada would not be pleased at that level of preaching. Something more has to be done. That's all right for the beginner. Like Yasomati from Gujarat, he went one day to challenge Sridhar Maharaj. And Sridhar Maharaj asked him, what do you learn? He said, Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said, that's debatable. That's so elementary. And then later when it was discussed, so many will disagree with that. So many will disagree with that. That is not highest plane. Then, so he, actually that day he said, I don't find any professors amongst you. No professors. And those who actually have realization, higher knowledge. No professors. Only students, elementary students. No professors. So, according to our position, we must know what is Gaudiya Vaishnavism. What do the scriptures say about all these things? What is the proper conception of the mantra and all of that type of thing? It is important for making our progress.
You started to say, you got into those stories by saying that in the beginning. There are certain things, certain fine points, which are more important, smaller points, as you were saying. Some misconception about the Pandavas, that's not something.
Yeah, no, I just, that's all. Are there any questions? Which one? What is
it?
It is. Oh, Dasara. Not son of Ram, Dasara.
No, son of Dasara.
That's what I just said.
Yeah. I didn't understand how. When David said that actually, Ram, people are having to die.
I just said Prabhupada made a comment like that. Dasarati Ram means what? Son of Dasara. Who is he? He's Krishna in disguise. He's Krishna in disguise. Who is Sita? In disguise. Just what is the meaning of disguise? What is the meaning of disguise? It means your hidden identity, your real identity is hidden. Well, all the avatars are Krishna in disguise, if you want to use that word. They're all Krishna in disguise. Once when Lord Vishnu became Lord Vishnu, I mean Krishna became Lord Vishnu in order to cheat the gopis. But they were so anxious for Krishna, he couldn't keep his form as Vishnu. It had to go back. And Krishna had to come out as he is. That was the potency of their attraction. The quality of their devotion is all attractive to Krishna. He couldn't conceal himself, he couldn't hide himself. Then the other Rama Krishna. Who's that Rama?
Rama Krishna, Balarama,
or Rama. I'm just telling about conception. In this song, Rama is twice. One Rama, then another Rama. Dasarathi Rama, one Rama is Krishna. That's one of the Das avatars is Krishna Balaram. That's two of the Das avatars. Krishna is one. Haladara Rupa. Baladeva. These two.
Yesterday, the person talking about the word called the scent of touch is created. And with the scent of touch, also the three bodies, Devi, or the scent of vision. And the sense of touch is said in parentheses of it that the deities of touch are the three. And there's also nothing said in the purport.
They're the hairs on the body of the universal form. And hairs are related to touch, you know. The first sensation of touch comes through the hairs, then through the skin. Hairs pick up touch first, before skin. It's subtle, but it relates it to the skin. could get some.
Tigers, whiskers.
Right?
We have the whiskers come out, yeah. So when they go into something like a, you know, like a tube or a hole, whisker touch, yeah. You know, because you have to get too close, and the whiskers, they won't go in. So you got to touch the
whiskers.
Right.
Touching
with
the hair.
Too much. You've given us instruction. Well, I'm going to go to Lassi, not to chant. Matu Yanikani. So that has some relation.
I didn't give instruction. You just asked which song. And I didn't give instruction not to chant Viva Vari Sesha, that you only do this, that you only do that. But in most places, Yanikani, Chappapani, Brahmahatya means the sin of killing a Brahmana. So that's one of the glories. Now, most in the Western world, Prabhupada might have thought, no telling where these people came from. But in Vrindavan, and there are just certain bhajans which are left aside. For example, in deity worship, many things are recommended. And in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, many things are recommended. Many things everywhere are recommended in the beginning. But then, sometimes we find the devotee, he leaves those things after a while. Just like we heard, oh, Krishna is a giver of liberation. But, later on, that's not one of the attracting names for us, Mukunda, the giver of liberation. But Govinda, Gopishwara, Sam Sunda, those become the more alluring names. Has many names. In the beginning, they're all the same, but later, according to our development, then some sweetness, some attraction for a particular thing develops. And, for example, in many of the places, we use mudras for worshipping the deity. But in Raganuga Bhakti, Jiva Goswamika, that's one of the first things that you leave. Somebody who's in Raganuga may not leave those things, but some may. But he gives example of that. Then he gives example of Krishna and Dwarka. He also gives example of that. And Vishnu avatars. That the devotees in Raganuga Bhakti, they're not so much interested in Dwarka anymore. Dwarka, that's the place where Krishna's pastimes are. Or they're not interested in Vishnu avatars. There are certain things that they are not so much interested in. Just like in, and that interest will correspond to their level of devotion, attachment, and attraction. So in Vrindavan and in Navadvipa moods, no temple sings that song, Yanikani Chappapani. Nobody sings. They sing other very nice songs in praise of Tulsi. But not that one that simply by circumambulating her, you're freed from the sin of killing a Brahmin. That is kind of, you know, the song is, and killing the Brahmin! But you don't know the words, so it's just a tune. But those who know the Bengali know the Sanskrit. That's not a good sound for them. It's a holy dance. They don't appreciate it. Like I was saying, for years, we didn't chant the Sringa Mantra at Rupanuga Bhajan Ashram. And that used to just, you know, get so many people upset saying, I chant Nisringa Mantra. But the protector of Vrindavan is not Lord Nisringa Deva, it's Gopishwara Mahadeva, Kshetrapal. He is the protector. So, and as we found, there's different conceptions of Lord Nisringa Deva also. He comes and kills the demons. But in his higher position, he is the destroyer of misconceptions. So which way we approach Lord Nisringadeva? In the beginning, we just wanted to kill all the demons. Later, we find out the demons in our own heart, that's the one we wanted to kill, the misconception. Destroy the anarthas in our own heart. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote very nicely about Krishna's pastimes in killing the demons in Vrindavan and how each demon corresponds to an anartha. But rarely do we think of that. Most of the devotees in the world aren't even vaguely aware of that. They just know he killed Paramahamsa. They don't know he killed the Geshe. doesn't know that that corresponds to a particular anartha. I can't recite which ones they are, but by hearing about those pastimes, then that anartha may be destroyed. So, in that way, it depends on which mood we may be establishing and things like that. So, as far as I know, in any of our temples, you don't sing that song for Tulsi. But if someone sings that song for Tulsi, that's not like, ooh, taboo, you know, chop off his little finger or something like that. It's one of the bona fide songs for Tulsi. If somebody does a mudra, but things like, certain things are established, you know, the temple has a standard, so the pujaris are doing the pujari work, but it's not that every pujari is doing his own thing in there. There's supposed to be a standard established, and then all the pujaris follow that standard. So, there are many things. Like it says in the Archanapadati, was it Archanapadati, or that book, one should not offer obeisances before taking bath? Hari Bhakti Vilas. One day, Radha Madhava offered obeisances to a sannyasi who was visiting our temple in Vrindavan. And the sannyasi was going into the shower, and everybody's just waking up, coming out of the ashram. So he saw the sannyasi offer obeisances. So then that sannyasi turned and said, says in Hari Bhakti's Lost, you shouldn't offer obeisances before taking the bath. So Radha Madhava was just humble. I told him, well, then you should have said, yes, but when you become a pure devotee, you won't care for that anymore. It's in Hari Bhakti's Lost. That's right, you won't care for that anymore. It also says, in so many places, you should wash your hands, face, feet, mouth, and all these things before you take the prasadam. You should finish first puja and all these things. But when Mahaprabhu showed up at the door of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya one morning, Sarvabhauma had overslept. And he did not get up from Mangal Arati. Mahaprabhu went there after Mangal Arati with Jagannath's prasada. Sarvabhauma answered the door. He hadn't washed his mouth. He hadn't washed his hands, feet. Nothing. He'd just risen from bed. And that means, when you rise from bed, that means you're not in the clean condition. You've been sleeping. You sleep more than an hour. Considered to be, you need to take a bath. So then Mahaprabhu offered, here's prasada of Jagannath. And immediately Sarvabhauma took that prasada. He chanted two prayers from the scriptures about one should immediately take prasada, Mahaprasada Govind Day, and maybe one other prayer he chanted. And immediately he honored that Mahaprasada. And what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say? Now you have become a pure devotee. So in the pure devotee, we'll see crossing rules, even crossing the scriptures. So there are different scriptures which are for different levels, and we must follow them according to our position. And even many of the rules that are written by our acharyas are only to stay the people, the objectionable, smartest society and others. Because if we have no rule, then it will be hard to follow us. Not me, them. Us means the acharya. So they must set some rule. How can you follow Gaura Kishore Das Babaji? You can't. You can only imitate him, and that will get you nowhere. You can't follow him. You can't follow Bhante Das Babaji. Not unless you're already almost as elevated as they are. Then you can follow them, because then you know where they are and what they're really all about. But you can't follow him. He ate prasadam from a human skull. He used to threaten to beat his deities with a stick. He used to smoke a pipe and give the pipe to his deities. You can't follow him. How can you follow him? Not even in this world. We'll misunderstand everything about him, and any attempt to follow in his footsteps will simply be cheating. It will be an imitation. So many people, there's many stories how people used to come down and try to make a little hut right next to Gaura Kishore Das Babaji's place, wherever he happened to be camping. They would also put there, and they would also put the same dress, and they would even chant like him. So many rounds. But then every time, something would happen. And those persons would go away. They would return to the material world. You can't imitate, you can't follow. So, rules and regulations are necessary to help us to follow great the great sages to make progress. But at a certain time, some of those rules or regulations or certain of those subjects, which were interesting to us in the beginning, then we're not interested in them later on. In the beginning, we all thought Lord Shiva was bad news. Isn't it? Lord Shiva. We all thought Lord Shiva, demigod, bad news. Nonsense. But later we learned that without the blessing of Lord Shiva, no one gets Lodhikar. Absolutely no one. In the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, he said,